This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning to both of you. I'm doing great. It's a little cool here in the desert, but no one's going to want to hear that it's only 55 or 60 degrees in
Boo-hoo.
Arizona.
Boo-hoo.
Cry me a river, Bruce.
Bruce, exactly. Those chilly temperatures, how will they affect PCA's hamstring? What's going on with PCA?
We'll find out in about 40 minutes exactly what's going on with PCA. Game time, we got a message from the Cubs Media Relations yesterday that PCA was scratched from the lineup with tightness in the right hamstring. That's all we know about it at this point in time. It was precautionary, underlined by the Media Relations Department. And, you know, they do such a good job of trying to keep everything as accurate as possible. So, you know, people at home are going to freak out when they hear hamstring, PCA. There's nothing more important to Pete Crow Armstrong and the Cubs than Pete Crow Armstrong's legs. Let's face it. I mean, that's the athlete in there. That's the great center fielder. That's the guy that can steal 50 bases. So we'll find out more today. Again, they said precautionary tightness, not a strain at this point. That's, you know, apples and oranges right now.
I know that's, you don't have all the information quite yet, Bruce, but is there any indication that this could keep him away from Tokyo?
It's a great question, Ruthie, and one that came to my head right away, the idea that it's Pete Crow Armstrong. So even if it's tightness, how long is prudent to keep him on the sideline to make sure the leg is not barking, and the idea that going forward he's going to be 100%. So there doesn't have to be a tear or a strain, which is the same thing actually, of any magnitude at all, to be cautious with your number one center fielder and another important player on this team. So from that perspective, we'll find out more from Craig Counsell in a couple hours about how they look at it. It's, you know, it's a big story because we don't know much about it right now.
Bruce, it brings to mind the question you posed maybe a couple weeks ago. Who is the Cubs' backup center fielder, and what do they do if Pete Crow Armstrong is at any point during the season, not just now or maybe to begin it, but what kind of depth do they have? Yesterday we saw Suzuki in left field. Does that mean Ian Happ in center is your best possible alternative? What will they do if Pete Crow Armstrong does miss any time throughout the year?
Well, Kevin Alcantara is the name, and he's the young 5-tool player that they're bringing along in the organization. I think he's 2 or 3 ranked in the organization right now. He's the best defensive player on the 40-man roster as far as center field goes. They're not moving Tucker. They're not moving Happ. During a game, they might. You know, one day they might. But a permanent solution at this time on the 40-man roster is Kevin Alcantara. Waiver wires, all kinds of things happening within the next 3 weeks, looking at other teams and bringing someone else in. But at this point in time, when you look at the 40-man, and I've asked this question from day one here. I talked to Jed Hoyer about it. I talked to Counsell about it. Alcantara is the best center fielder, and he would be the guy that went.
Bruce, David has a little bit of a love affair going right now with Gage Workman. We've been talking about him a lot. Want to know what your thoughts are on getting to know him as a player, as a person, on and off the field.
Well, he's been terrific in camp. I caution everybody this time of year in spring training, and that is when you're not facing top-flight pitchers at their best, you know, you don't know exactly the ability to make consistent contact all the time and be the player that they assume you are. But in this case, you know, he had a really nice hit off of Burns, one of the best pitchers in baseball yesterday. He's shown a lot of power, versatility, playing the infield and outfield. His best position, Council thinks, is third base, a left-handed bat. Former switch hitter, switched last year to just left-handed. The Cubs were the got the benefit, rather, of Detroit, who is flush with infielders and had to expose him to the Rule 5 draft. Their intent is to keep him and make him a part of the team. With a young third baseman in Shaw, who bats right-handed, Workman would fit in beautifully. Again, if he doesn't make your team, you have to offer him back to Detroit for the waiver cost. There is no sending him directly to the minor league. So either makes it here or he's offered back. He won't make it through waivers.
Ruthie's kind of overstating it. I do like his start. I don't know. I love the player, but it's a good, promising beginning. And you make a good point, Bruce. I mean, you have to give him back if he doesn't make the team. But boy, you look at the roster construction and the projections, he's going to have a hard time making this team.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's really, you're right, David, that last spot on the team. And this is a team that had, you know, as we talked about before, I've beaten this to death, one of the worst benches in baseball last year. Okay? It just was. You know, all the guys were great guys. They played their butts off. They weren't all that good. This time around, now you have Turner as a backup first baseman, possibly backup third baseman, doubtful, but DH. Then you have Bruhan, who they're playing at short and second base. Then you have Birdie, and then you have Nicky Lopez. This will be a tough decision for the Cubs, and it's a really good thing to show that they have depth in the backups. Normally, we don't talk that much about backups. In this case, it's a really important part, and it might be a part of a platoon. We don't know if Shaw will face every pitcher in baseball. Workman would be a nice alternative, playing third base, batting left-handed.
With the comment about Shaw, what's the outlook for him? And, you know, obviously whether or not he makes it to Japan is a big question mark too, right?
Yeah, he certainly wants to go, Ruth. He stated, hey, I can get all my work in there. The reality is they have four games there, 8 days off, including those games there. So therefore, what's the prudent thing to do? Is it more important for him to work here in the backfields, work on his arm angle, throwing from third base, which is the biggest hurdle that he has here in spring training going forward, to make that throw from third base position? He hasn't played all that much, and the angles there. Is it more prudent to keep him here working out rather than going to Japan and missing at least one complete day and probably two or three more just from jet lag coming back? I think we know practically what the answer is. But again, the Cubs do not want to take away that carrot in front of Matt Shaw right now to say he's not going. I would say it's a smart thing to do. But again, it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing for a Major League Baseball player to be able to go to Japan, start the season with two storied teams right now. So they're taking baby steps to make this decision.
So Bruce, over the White Sox camp in Glendale, Mike Tauchman homered yesterday. So did Luis Robert Jr., except for his second of the spring. But Tauchman especially, where do you see him batting in this batting order, and how many games do you think he ends up playing? He's got to be their everyday right fielder, correct? Is that something that you think is a role he can handle?
I don't think so, David. I mean, I think he's going to play a lot. But I think the plan with Mike is, boy, we have a really good professional hitter and player here in Mike Tauchman. But at 34, I think his role is 350, 400 at-bats, certainly playing against right-handed pitching, DHing, playing the outfield, those type of things. You really want to break in a young outfielder. You want your young outfielders to have a chance to be doing something. Now, you know, is it Dominic Fletcher? Does Colas finally make the team after being touted for so long? Is it more of a veteran guy like Slater? With Benintendi out, I think you're going to see him get a lot of at-bats. But they need to keep moving along some of their young outfielders and bringing them to the major leagues. So we might see a lot of fluid movement with the White Sox and their outfield this year.
All right, Bruce, appreciate your time. We got to run. We have Mike Florio coming up, but we really appreciate your time out in Arizona. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right. Have a great day.
Bruce Vine out in Arizona on the Cubs and Sox beat for The Score.